welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today. Father, I just give thanks for all your people. I just pray, Father, that you grant every person out there a spirit of grace and that your mercy be upon them. Everyone out there that's hurting, everyone that's going through a hard time, I just pray, Father, that you strengthen them in their inward man by your spirit with divine ability and might. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts, this land, all the kings and presidents throughout the rest of the earth. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. And I pray you grant your people a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation and open the eyes of understanding. All right, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that God has to do in our hearts for us to walk in the Spirit. You know, you can just get in faith, even as a baby Christian, and get in the Spirit a little. But there are things that are a hindrance to us walking in the Spirit and living there all the time. And that's what I want to get into in this. And some of these things are things I've talked about a lot. I'm going to add some new things. And, you know, we've all been raised to live right, to do what's right. And even those of you out there that had parents that didn't do that good a job at teaching the right way, yet everybody has a law of Moses written in their heart, and it causes them to do what's right. Let's read that. Romans 2:14, New Living Translation. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know this law when they indistinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or else tell them they're doing right. See, the law of Moses automatically makes us try to do what's right. And, you know, there are times when we act a certain way that we know is right, but our heart is not right or in it. Like, have you ever just kind of gone through the motion, oh, it's nice to meet you, or hey, you know, oh, you know, we say this or that, and our heart wasn't really with it. Like, if you have strife or unforgiveness in you, but outwardly, you be kind to people. You practice forgiveness and not strife. And that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. But, and this is what I want to get into. And I believe that evil spirits don't lose their hold on a person until their heart is changed. Even though, and this is what I want to bring home in this broadcast. And this is not a popular message. People don't want to hear this. If people are happy and they got money and they got health, they don't want you disturbing them. They don't want you telling them anything's wrong. Well, folks, the body of Christ is not where it's supposed to be. That's all there is to it. We're not walking in the Spirit as good as well as God wants us to. We're not moving in the power of God as well as God wants us to. And that's what I'm working at. I want to perfect that which is lacking in our faith. But for us to recover ourselves out of the hold of every evil spirit, we have to come to repentance. And repentance is a change of the heart, not just change your outward behavior. Okay? Now, let me say this about evil spirits. You can be a Christian on your way to heaven and have an evil spirit that has you bound in one area or another. Like, a spirit can have you bound in unforgiveness or strife or murmuring, complaining, or it could be something more binding like pornography or different lusts. We don't need to get into all of them. Doesn't mean you're a monster because you've got spirits. We have to come out of this. We have to be delivered from the power, the control, the authority of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that's one of the things I've heard taught in the church. And they said, well, that all happened when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to look at this here in a minute, that you have to, or here in a few seconds, you have to be brought to repentance to come out from underneath these spirits. So that's just another error they taught in the church. So, but I believe that your heart has to be changed. Then you recover yourself out of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can outwardly, you can be acting right. but the devils can still have a hold of you. Look at 2 Timothy 2:24. And these are all things of how we can come into a better walk in the Spirit. So that's very beneficial, what I'm saying, but it doesn't always feel good. Okay, verse 24, I mean, to hear these things. People don't like to hear this stuff. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure give them repentance, acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay. Spirits have a hold of us for whatever sin. And I do not believe that's just talking about outward sins we're committing, but although you're going to do it until you're subject to fall into that sin until it's purified of your heart. But I believe the hold he has is on whatever's in you. And so we know, we can act right and your heart still not be right. Okay. And if you haven't seen that, you will see it. Jesus, he never committed a sin, but he had to have his heart made right. Did you know that? Look at Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it'll surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Who's it talking about? Let's read the last part of the verse. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, this is talking about a time would come that the just would live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was talking about the new covenant. We weren't going to live by the law, but we were going to live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his soul was not upright. Okay? Now, the devil never had a hold on Jesus because he never committed an act of sin. So Jesus was led, but Jesus did have to be led into the wilderness to be tempted, which is where he got his heart purified and made right. And if you think Jesus didn't have sin in him, that his heart was all right, why was he tempted in all points like us? And why did he have to be led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Because he had to get it purified out. Okay? And the point I'm trying to make is you can act right outwardly, but your heart is still not right. And therefore, evil spirits can still have a hold on you and captive in one area or another. Because what I've seen in the church, I know this is not popular, people don't like this, I see worship service that are just soulless, very little spirit there. I see ministers speaking, very little spirit there. I'm not pleased with where I'm at. I want to overcome more so I can minister more of a measure of the Spirit. See, it's the Spirit of God that gives us the victory. It's walking in the Spirit where we can triumph over sin and over evil spirit. It's me ministering the Spirit that will change your life. The Word of God without the Spirit is a dead letter. You hearing teachings about do this and don't do that, unless it's by the Spirit, it won't change you. And see, when you start seeing, when I believe in the days to come, what we're going to see as I overcome, as you overcome, the Spirit of God is going to be ministered. We're going to see changes faster and faster. And you'll tune in and you'll be listening and there'll be an ongoing change. We've really had to encourage ourselves up to this point because it's been so slow. Now, I want to say there's five things that need to be done that I can see, and I'm not saying that's all there is, but I'm going to be talking about them in this broadcast that has to be done to bring us into the walk of the Spirit. And one is die to sin. Well, look at that. Repent, and you know, repentance is part of that. Have the law erased from our hearts. Fight in prayer and overcome evil spirits. Be redeemed from the curse of law and have our hearts rebuilt. So keep that in mind as I go through the broadcast. And the purpose of accomplishing these five things, once again, is to come into more of a measure of the Spirit of God in our life and more into walking better in the Spirit. And it's a big struggle when you're coming out of bondage because it takes the Spirit working in us to get to that point. We overcome all these things by the Spirit so we can move in the Spirit. But see, like Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay. Why does it just tell us to do it? Because we can apply ourselves to read the Word worship God, set our affection on things of God, and we can get the Spirit moving. We can't do very well because we're still bound, but the more you can start getting loose, the more you get loose, the more your faith will work. The more your faith will work, and the more you got a heart change and your heart is on God, the better it'll work. You got a bunch of law in your heart, it shuts up your faith. Got a bunch of law in your heart, it's hard to move in the Spirit. And let's look at this scripture about rebuilding your heart, Luke 5:37. Well, that's what it's talking about. No man put a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be filled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Okay, notice old bottle, the wine leaks out, new bottle, it stays in, it's preserved. Okay, the new wine is the Spirit of God. The new bottle is the new man. The old bottle is the old man. So you put the new wine or the Spirit into the old bottle, the old man, and what happens is you start putting to death the old man. That's why it says the bottles burst. In another place, it says they perish. Well, that's what we want the old bottle of the old man to do, is perish. And the new wine, it is spilled out while this process is going on. There's a rending, a breaking, a dying of the old man. And you can't stay filled with the Spirit during this time. Now, as the new bottle of the new man is formed, then you put the new wine or the Spirit of God in him, and both are preserved. The Spirit no longer leaks out. See, so this was a great revelation when God began to show me this, because I knew that the more I can move in the Spirit, the more victory I have, the more I can stay filled with the Spirit. And so I believe that we're heading into a time in the days to come that we're going to be able to hold the Spirit longer, not only longer, but keep it in us better until we reach a point where it no longer leaks out at all. And then we'll be continually led by the Spirit. You'll go to bed in the Spirit. You'll wake up in the Spirit. Everything you'll do is by the Spirit. It'll become natural. Just like we used to walk according to the course of this world, we were just led around by the devil. We never knew that we were led around by the devil. I'm going to show you that scripture here in a minute. It just came natural. Why? We had a sinful nature, and we naturally walked in the wrong Spirit. It's the same way as we get a new nature, the new man's form, we're going to naturally walk in the Spirit. And see, I saw this years ago because I said, man, everything is so mechanical trying to walk with God. It's like, because I have to make myself do everything because I didn't have the desire for the things of God. But as God changed my heart, I did. Now, let's look at dying to sin so we can walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:13, and I went over this last week. For if you live after the flesh, and this is living after your old nature, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay? Living out of the flesh isn't just, you know, doing anything that's not by the Spirit. It just means the carnal nature, sinful acts. If you're living after sinful things, things you know are sin, you're going to die. You're going to be cut off from God. That doesn't mean, that's not correct. You're not cut off from God. You're separated. There is a difference. Separated means you're just not in the Spirit. Cut off means you can no longer be with God again. So I'm going to correct that. So if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You'll be separated from God. If you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. The deeds of the body, not the body. Then it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As you die to sin, you live in the Spirit. Okay, so that's one of the five things I was bringing up about walking in the Spirit better. So that should be an encouragement to us the more you put to death the sin nature, the more you can move in the Spirit. Now, we have to use our will to do this. You said, well, how do you go about this? You use your will to believe the gospel to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Okay? See, when it says if we through the Spirit do it, but how do we do it through the Spirit? See, I used to always read this stuff and listen. Okay, well, how do you do that? You know, it's like, okay, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. This is like, okay, I mean, could you imagine telling your spouse, okay, I'm going to go outside and walk in the Spirit? It meant nothing to me because I didn't understand it. Then I learned as I prayed and got filled up with the Spirit, then I began to move in the Spirit. But, okay, putting to death the deed of the flesh. Well, the old man was crucified with Christ on the cross. Believing the gospel, believing that, praying that, will cause the Spirit to put him to death. That's how you do it. See, the Gospels, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and our sin nature, which causes those deeds of body, were crucified with Christ. So that's how you put it today. Okay, let's read that same verses in the New Living Translation. For if you live by its dictates, you shall die. That's the sinful dictate. But if you, through the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by God's Spirit are children of God. That's one of the hindrances to walking in the Spirit. Now, when we come to the Lord and we start to practice the Word of God, live in line with God's ways, then, you know, like I said, I'm going back to this. You'll see your heart is not into doing this or doing that. In other words, sometimes you don't want to read. You don't want to pray. And you feel like, what's the deal? Why is it sometimes I want to? Sometimes I can't hardly, because we're going through that. We still got that old man in us, and sometimes he's dominating us. But let me encourage you with this. When I just read you about the parable of the bottles, I didn't read verse 39. Now, verse 39 tells us that as we first start walking with God, we still like the old wine. We like the old ways. We don't like the ways of God as much until we're changed. Okay, let's read that. No man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he said the old is better. That's another thing why I can tell this parable is talking about the new man and the old man, because it's talking about how you still like the old wine, the old ways, and you don't straightway like the new. Well, if you got all converted, you got all spiritually regenerated, immediately you immediately like the new wine, but you don't. Okay. So see, when you get your eyes open, you're going to see spiritual regeneration all over the New Testament is an ongoing work of grace. All right. Okay. And so the more you're changed, the more you'll like the things of God. And like I said, if you understand the parable of the bottles, it's just another scripture shows us we didn't get a whole new heart when we first received Jesus. If you did, you immediately love the things of God and have no desire for the things of the world. Okay? You wouldn't need correction if your heart was all straight. See, this part about any man being Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, all things became new. If every bit of bad thing about you passed away when you just said one prayer and received Jesus, and everything became new when you said one prayer and received Jesus, you wouldn't need to be corrected. And that works of the flesh is included in all, okay? All things passed away. That would all be put to death too, okay? So it didn't just talk about the heart. So people say, oh, well, you got your heart changed, but now you got to deal with the flesh. No, it said all things passed away. Those works of the flesh are the old man. That's part of the old way. And the new man. If it wasn't, you know how I know that also? Because I had works of the flesh in me that are I no longer have them working in me anymore. They passed away. They were put to death. See, it's part of the old man. See, so that's why I know. I'm not the same person I used to be. Did my flesh change? The carnal part did. The old nature did, but not my physical body. In other words, what I'm saying is your body is not the problem. It's the sin that entered into man. So those old things passing away, that is also the works of the flesh. Okay? So I'm just telling you, I'm going to keep saying this. And, you know, I said, I think it was last week, week before that, I said, people need to repent about keep teaching that scripture about new creature Christ immediately. But you know what? I just got to be teach the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ of all long suffering, because people just don't see it yet. They don't see it, but I'm going to keep saying it till God opens their eyes. Okay, let me encourage you with this about how, as God changes our heart, how we can walk in his way. Psalm 119:32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Okay, changing the heart. Being able to keep the commandments better. You see that? See, there's part of it. Part of this walk, we just use our will to keep the word. And then the other part is as we believe, we get the heart changed, and then it's easier to keep the ways of God. Okay? Same scripture, International Standard Version. I will eagerly, willingly race along the way of your commands, for you will enable me to do so. Philippians 2:13, International Standard Version. For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. Hebrews 13:21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. You know, that's what I love about the Lord. He says, you know, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I think I've got that scripture later on in here. And then he makes you willing and obedient so he can bless you. See, he's not interested. God is not a I got you God. He's a I want to change you. I want to bless you. I came down from heaven and died for you so that I could make you my very own nature so that we could have a good relationship together. See, God is good. All right? So don't get discouraged when your heart doesn't want to read the word at time, because the change of the heart is an ongoing work of grace inside of us. And the more our hearts are changed, the more we can run the way of God's commandments. But don't just sit around and don't apply yourself, because part of getting God to change our heart is as we yield to him, okay? Not we do something to get him to change our heart, but we yield our members to him, okay? And we yield our members to him by reading the word, praying. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll put in a song here, God on the Mountain by Pamela Pontiac.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the times, it's still God in the bad times, the God of the day, is still God in the night. We talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Now, what I see in Christians as I look everywhere is people that have been seduced from the faith. And first of all, it looks like many haven't got the knowledge, or some of them have the knowledge, but not a full knowledge. Maybe better put to say, they don't have the full knowledge of all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. They don't know the law. I rarely ever hear this. In fact, I don't know anyone that teaches this. They don't know the law of Moses was nailed to the cross and erased from the heart. They don't know why it needed to be nailed to the cross and why it needed to be erased from the heart. They don't know the sin nature was crucified on the cross. That was the old man. They don't know that Christ became a curse on the cross. Now, some of these things they know. I think a part about being crucified with Christ, they know. But those that do know some of these things, they think it immediately happened or immediately was worked out in their life when they received Jesus. And I've alluded to that a second ago about being a new creature in Christ. Secondly, after they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Savior, they do is make an effort to practice the Word of God, which is good because, but let me say this, until you've gotten the law out from under the law, you're going to try to perfect yourself in the flesh. Okay, let's look at that. Galatians 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, now apply that to America and the other countries of the world. Oh, foolish Americans, who has bewitched you? How were they bewitched? That you should not obey the truth. And what is obeying the truth? Whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You're bewitched when you don't continue to hold fast to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what that's talking about. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Okay, let me continue on. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Okay, this is saying if you're trying to perfect yourself by trying to keep the law of Moses, then you're trying to perfect yourself in the flesh or by your own ability. And trying to perfect yourself by working or keeping the law is the same as believing, well, I'm going to transform myself. And, you know, we can't help ourselves from doing this while the law is still active in our hearts. It's got to be erased. It has to be erased from our heart. Okay. How did we begin in the Spirit to perfect ourselves? Well, it says right there, by obeying the truth, by obeying the gospel. Let me read it again. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So obeying the truth, obeying the gospel is believing it, and that's how we begun in the Spirit. That's exactly what it says. Study it out for yourself. That's how we continue to perfect ourselves, is by continuing to believe the gospel. Believe the old man was crucified with Christ. Keep reckoning him dead. And then get the Spirit working in us. See, and if you don't do this, you're going to try to perfect yourself in the flesh. This only would I learn of you, receive in the Spirit with the works of the law by the hearing of faith. Now, the hearing of faith is the hearing of the gospel. See, the gospel is the word of faith. See, okay, so verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Many people in church, that's where they're at right now. They're trying to perfect this. A lot of what you see on social media is they're always talking about don't do this and don't do that. Well, thank God, put off practicing sin. Absolutely. Put on the new man and practice the Word of God. But you got to do these other things. This is why it's so important about getting the revelation to understand of how to get the Spirit working in you so you won't try to perfect yourself in the flesh by believing the gospel, getting the Spirit working, and by the hearing of faith, okay, getting the law erased from your heart. Because then you'll get to where you'll read and pray and you'll get more of a measure of the Spirit working in you. Then when you obey the Word, it'll be by the Spirit. Then you'll start seeing much better results. If you try to keep the Word of God without believing the gospel, without getting the law erased from it, you're just trying to perfect yourself in the flesh and it won't work. Okay, turn to Ezekiel 36. New heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk my statute, keep my judgment, do. Now, when you get the revelation of all the different things I've been saying about how we get the heart rebuilt, then God puts his Spirit within you, causes his Spirit to work in you, then you will keep his statutes and his judgments. See that? You'll come forth and be walking in the ways of God. You'll delight in the ways of God. It'll become your way, your natural way to live your life. Ezekiel 36, I already read that. Okay, now, I heard this scripture quoted and people say, when you receive Jesus, this happened. You got a whole new heart. Now, how could you get a whole new heart when you still need to be brought to repentance, which is a change of heart? See, they don't know what they're saying. They don't know what repentance is. It's just like, okay, we need to be corrected. Well, I thought old things passed when all things became new. That's perfection. If you're perfected by saying one prayer, you don't need correction. You don't need repentance. They don't even understand what they're saying when they quote that. Jesus did that on the cross. You have to walk it out. Isaiah, I alluded to this a minute ago, Isaiah 1:19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Now, this is why you have to apply yourself to believe, because this, your heart does not automatically change. You receive Jesus, you have to apply yourself to believe the gospel. You have to apply yourself to keep the words of God. Okay? And yes, you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven, but you have to walk in this. And the thing is if you don't make effort, you will end up rebelling, because that sin nature is still in you. But if you obey and believe the gospel, you'll keep being delivered. So our part is to believe the gospel, apply ourselves to walk in the ways of God. Then God works in us to perfect our obedience, and then he blesses us. 2 Corinthians 12:18. I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Whatever spirit you walk in is the steps you'll walk in. Okay, now this scripture tells us that man walks in the spirit. Now look at Ephesians 2:2. When times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And see, we want to come out of that spirit. And and I didn't write this one down. That was the third verse. It says, we walk there according by our own lust. So that's, as you get your heart changed, you come out of that spirit. Okay, Galatians 3:13, New Living Translation. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hung upon the tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised Abraham, so that we as believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. See, I believe as we're coming out of the curse, as we're redeemed from the curse, coming out of that, Spirit will work more and more in our life. Now, let's look at fighting to walk in the Spirit, fighting the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's read that same scripture in Ephesians 2, but the International Standard. You used to be dead because of your offenses and sins that you once practiced as you lived according to the ways of this present world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that now active in those who are disobedient. See, the devil leads around people that are disobedient. Indeed, all of us once behaved like them in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and senses. By nature, we were destined for wrath, just like everyone else. Okay. See, we have to fight not to walk in the Spirit. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. Now here is love in the world. For all that's in the world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and all the Father is of the world. See? All those sinful, see, walking, loving the world is walking in the sinful ways of the world. Okay, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the dark world, against spiritual wickedness. Now, if you compare how God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, he corrected them, he humbled them, he led them to go in and fight one nation and possess the land. It is the same in the New Testament, except for we fight principalities and powers, and the land we take possession of is our soul. And when we do, we come into the land. When we finally overcome and come in, take possession of our soul, we come into the land. You know, Hebrews 4:10 says, for he that has entered into the rest, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from him. Okay, so us walking through all these things, learning how to put to death the sins of the old man, put to death the old man, get the law erased from our heart, get out from underneath the curse, then we will enter into the promise or the rest, where we cease from our own works and where we're carried by the Spirit of God. Okay? So, I encourage you, go back over these things, look into them, and you'll see the different things that we have to walk through so we can walk in the Spirit of God. This is the life of victory, because going from the flesh to the Spirit is going from your ability to moving in the ability and the Spirit of the living God. And see, you know, people talk like, oh, the devil's been judged and cast out. Yes, he has. But you have to believe the gospel. And you're no match for the devil. But in the Spirit of God, moving in the Spirit, the devil's no match for you. In your own ability, he can bring you down. In God's ability, you can rule over him. Sin can be a strong force. It's a power and a force within us. We're all under it. But by the Spirit of God, we can put it all to death and rise above it all. And by the Spirit, we can get the divine nature imparted to us and walk in righteousness. So I would encourage everyone with that. We need to learn the ways of God so we can get in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And not only that, then the Christian life becomes alive. It becomes a great blessing. You know, it says, in God's presence is fullness of joy and his right and pleasure forevermore. Well, when you're in the Spirit, you're alive unto God. You're not separated from God. And all the blessings of God are yours. See, I believe that when I see a comparison between the children of Israel, God leading them out to the wilderness, and all that they walked through, being corrected, being humbled, fighting all those nations and overcoming them, all those kings they had to overcome, and to then going into the land, is compared to us walking through the wilderness, everything God leads us till we go into the land and we cease from our own work and we enter into the rest. That's where we're not doing everything, but God working in us through us doing everything. We cease from our own works, and that's where all the blessings of God are. You know, there's a lot of people that have money, but they have sickness and they can't enjoy it. A lot of people have money that have sadness and broken hearts, and they can't enjoy that. Then there's a lot of people that have poverty, and they may be healthy or they're, you know, not necessarily sad, but a lack of funds can be very oppressing. When you're working, living from paycheck to paycheck, and you work hard and you never seem to, and you're always short, that there's no happiness in that. That'll wear you out after a while. But God wants to bring us into the land where our hearts are made whole, we're healed. He delivers us from all sadness, all sickness. We have prosperity, health, and we're in the promised land. And that's, you know, that's what God's desire is for every person out there. And he'll do it if you're walking his ways. And I believe that we're heading into that time where God's going to bring a bunch of people into perfection. All right. Is there anybody out there that you've never been saved? You've never been born again? Say this prayer after me. And let me just tell you this. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And it says, whosoever shall call upon that name shall be saved. And I'm telling you, this is just as real as it is. Eternal life is real. God is real. Heaven is real. You can live there forever. And, you know, even if you're not able to attain every blessing of God, at least if the very least you did was just get saved and go to heaven and have eternal life, that's great. All right. So, but anyway, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. I just receive you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised from the dead. And if you said that prayer, Spirit of Jesus Christ has entered into your heart, and now your spirit's joined with the Spirit of the Lord. I encourage you to come back and tune into my broadcast, and I'll feed you the Word of God, and I'll minister to you in every way that I can to help you grow up in Christ and get the blessings and overcome your sin. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry in music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.